T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Do you have to change up a lot if you don't have one? Because you've used one quite a bit here in the last few years?
Yeah, when you say quite a bit, I mean, I don't think we've had a fullback on the field, you know, over 30% of the time very often. Somewhere in the, I'd say, 25 to 30% range. So, and some of that's situational, you know, goal line, short yardage, and, you know, four-minute offense, things like that.
That is Bill Belichick, his weekly appointment listening with OMF.
A little more glib.
Well, you know what it is?
Because that interview.
Well, the game was 4 or 5 days earlier. He's not in the throes of breaking down the film, maybe. And obviously, it was another victory. He's 6-0. Wasn't playing for another week. So, yeah, Bill was happy-go-lucky, carefree, cutting edge on Monday last with the OMF guys and talking about the fact that James Devlin out for a significant period of time. People forget how instrumental he is in that running game and protecting Brady as well. We talked about how pretty much the fullback position, and Bill even said it, only being implemented about 30% of the plays. But one of the reasons, I think, one of the factors for the Patriots struggling to keep Brady upright and moving the ball both via the pass and on the ground.
The other thing with the tight, Izzo went down, the tight end. Excuse me. The other problem is that when you don't have a fullback and your tight end situation is kind of shaky, you really can't chip that much. And a lot of times when you have like a fire-eating pass rusher coming your way continuously, that particularly on the left side with Newhouse and the like, you want a guy that you can place out there to kind of chip him, but along with the offensive lineman, and you're not able to do that as much if you don't have your fullback. And obviously, we keep saying Gronk. I think we need to leave Gronk alone. I mean, if the guy wants to retire, he played what he played, 9 years?
Yep.
The guy wants to retire, leave him alone.
Now, are you convinced that Mr. Gronkowski has pretty much looked at his NFL career in the rearview mirror?
See, I think it was very unique to me. Whether you look at the Cowboys situation with Witten, the tight end, coming back out of retirement from the broadcast booth to go back and play. I would think that once you retire and your body adjusts to your old lifestyle now and you can be social and do certain things, I think it's very, to me, I would find it very difficult to go back out there.
I think the difference is that Gronk has one of those personalities that's perfect for whatever he wants to do in the media business. He can do halftime with Fox. I think he'll be fine pregame. He'll be perfect in that kind of environment. It's kind of a jocular environment anyway. He's great with the WWE. He's tremendous if you want to endorse a particular product via a commercial. Whereas Witten was not successful. That was considered an experiment gone bad on ESPN last year.
Yeah, the reviews weren't that good on him.
I think if he had come out like his old partner, Tony Romo, and got a lot of adulation.
By the way, Romo, they don't. He's not featured on a lot of the big top games. He's not getting anywhere near the
what do you mean?
Notoriety. Do you think he is?
Well, he does the top game.
I never hear people talk about him anymore.
Because they haven't, you know what the problem is so far this year? You got to check out the schedule. CBS hasn't had that 4 o'clock game, that game of the week, quite often, because I have the Sunday ticket in DirecTV. So they're on games now, Nance and Romo, at like 1 o'clock sometimes.
Yeah.
So as the season wears on, what they do is they essentially alternate that game of the week, the 4:25 broadcast window. That's the big one for Fox and CBS. So they get more of those, you'll see more. He's by far, right now, Tony Romo is the hottest commodity in NFL broadcasting. His contract actually with CBS is up this year. And if he wants to go to Fox, he wants to go to Monday Night Football, he wants to go to Sunday, he can do anything he wants. But right, he has not been on regular 425 national broadcast exposure television so far this year.
Now, what do you think of Booger McFarland this
year? He's gotten better because he's not in that awkward position where he was on the sideline.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a top broadcast. I think that's a second-rate broadcast. It's not Sean McDonough when he was doing it. I didn't love Gruden, but Sean McDonough is a first-tier broadcaster. What's that guy's name? Joe Tess?
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, he's fine for college. He's, you know, he's got a good voice. He's certainly competent, and he's a smooth, professional broadcaster. But remember, Monday Night Football isn't Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is Sunday Night Football. That's the game of the week. And, you know, some people say Collinsworth maybe is, you know, past his prime a little bit. But don't make no mistake about it, Larry. Tony Romo is at the very top of the NFL heat for NFL broadcasters.
Yeah, I just haven't heard him that much this year, that's all.
Now, I'm not claiming I think he's the best. But going back to Witten, if Witten had had that kind of a debut, a big splash in his first year out of retirement, he probably'd stay in the broadcast booth, but it became pretty obvious that way they were going to break up that troika anyway. And he's back with Dallas, and we'll see them later on in the year. One of the things we've been talking about for the first time, as far as the Patriots are concerned, this Monday night, speaking of Monday night, Booger will be there along with Joe Tess on ESPN in the Meadowlands. The Patriots will be facing an NFL quarterback, a bona fide NFL quarterback, not with a whole lot of experience, but certainly looked good against the Cowboys last week. By the way, that was a Romo-Nance game. That was a big game. The Cowboys in the New York market, and Romo was there. And I think that's what they're going to see for the next 7 or 8 games. They're going to see quarterbacks that have had some success, unlike the parade of stiffs and tomato cans they had to face in the first 6 games, which, you know, Patriots passed all those tests. You know, you can only play the people on your schedule. But now I think you're getting closer to the meat of this 2019 season.
It'll be interesting to see what schemes Belichick comes up with also. It will make it see how the defense adjusts week to week, as you would say, to real quarterbacks out there, and can they disguise their reads and zones and blitzes and every other kind of thing that they do out there? Will they still be able to do that?
Yeah, because their numbers are ridiculous. 27 points in 6 games. So you do the math. That's a little over 4 points a game they've been giving up. That makes no sense whatsoever. How do you average 4 points a game on defense? That is ridiculous.
And when you add to that between the defense and the special teams, they have done more than a respectable job putting points on the board themselves.
Well, that's the point. And even some of the points they've given up haven't been defensive points.
No.
A couple of picks, things like that. The pick 6 that Stidham threw for that ill-fated mop-up duty.
Did I answer that
question?
That
was against the Jets.
Why do you take Brady out the game?
And that, by the way, was against the Jets, if you remember, earlier in the year. So Patriots going for their 7th in a row. Speaking of Romo last week, I don't know if you heard this, was kind of sarcastically referring to, well, the Jets are going to be 1-4. Maybe they'll challenge the Patriots for the AFC. And he says, I was just kidding. I was being sarcastic. The Patriots might not lose another game this year. Do you agree with Romo about that?
About what?
Might not lose another game this year?
I don't agree with that.
No, I don't either.
I think, again, we'll have more answers as they go on to see if they actually make any trades or bring somebody back. That's the problem. But the Patriots, you could say they're undermanned on their offensive side of the ball.
Okay, and this is what we talked about this at the beginning of the show, and we'll reset it here. Here are the quarterbacks the Patriots faced in the first 6 weeks. Mason Rudolph after Big Ben goes down. Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen, game number 2. The immortal...
Who was Fitzpatrick with?
He's with Miami.
He
started in that game, and Rosen came in later. The immortal Luke Falk in game number 3. Josh Allen. Buffalo should have won that game, but Allen was totally inept on offense. Case Keenum against the Redskins. Daniel Jones, not bad, but had no offensive weapons. Ingram, Shepard, and Barkley out. For the first time, you have Darnold. After that, Mayfield, for all his problems, can be dangerous.
Curtis?
Not Curtis Mayfield. He just poses no threat right now.
So Freddie's dead then.
Yeah, Freddie is. So is he, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You got Mayfield. You got Lamar Jackson. You got Carson Wentz. You got Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson. And then if Patrick Mahomes comes back from the kneecap injury, which he probably will, you have Mahomes. So I'm telling you, you got some pretty good quarterbacks in the next 7 or 8 weeks.
The defenders of defense.
And that is going to, in the eminent words of Wiggy, make life very difficult for
it
the
can.
Patriot defense.
It can.
Right. So we are.
I mean, if the offense is out there and they're giving the ball up and or too many three and outs, that can be a problem.
Nope, no question about it. So we'll see what happens on Monday. Listen, I'm not foolhardy enough to believe. I'm pretty much foolhardy most of the time. But I don't envision the Patriots losing, but I see another Buffalo-like game where they're going to struggle a little bit on offense. The defense will make a big play, but it's certainly not going to be smooth sailing like it was against the Giants. Well, people forget it. Wasn't it tied late in the – was that tied at half, or was it – I know late in the game, late in the first half, it was tied at one point against the Giants.
Mm.
So, and that was a
– Yeah, it wasn't until the second half that the Patriots broke out a little bit.
Right, and they did that against the Redskins, too. And remember, they were only up like 12-7 against the Redskins at halftime. First halves have been difficult. They've had it a little bit easier. They have been able to break out in second halves.
And it was 21-14 up until the fourth quarter, and then the Patriots scored twice.
Right. You're talking about the Giants game?
Giants game,
yeah.
Thursday, yes.
Right. So that was a close game for a while, and the Giants certainly didn't have a lot of weapons.
I'm dying to see this Harry kid to see if he can contribute anything.
Well, he's a big kid. I saw him
6'3".
Him down in training camps, about 220, 230, and he's a big receiver. Looks like Gordon in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think it goes beyond, and I know people want to blame the wide receiving core post-AB is not really being up to snuff. I think there's a lot of other issues with the Patriot offense beyond just the wide receiving core.
Well, it starts with the offensive line.
Right, and that's been battered and bruised, and you got to believe injuries is really more the reason than anything else, because we know that Dante Scarnecchia, if he isn't the greatest assistant coach in the history of the game, he's right up there. Because each and every year, you never have to worry about that unit. He always has them ready to play. The injuries have just been a little overwhelming so far. And if he can get Isaiah Wynn on the field, which is no easy task, maybe it gets better. But that's an area of concern as well. So in spite of your New England Patriots defending a Super Bowl, coming out of the gate 6-0, a lot of question marks for this team.
On the defense,
no.
But on the offense.
Certainly.
How about the kicking game?
Well, Nugent's been okay. He hasn't been horrendous.
Well, the holder didn't get the laces turned around, and
right.
He ended up kicking the ball with the laces facing him.
Right.
I have heard that that is a myth.
What is?
With the laces and the kickers, and how much it's more of a psychological thing rather than a physical thing.
Well, you know, I think kicking more than anything, Joe, our intrepid producer jumping in, is a psychological thing. I think they can all nail it.
Kind of like golf, right?
Exactly. Well, it's very similar to golf. You know, that swing, for some reason, that was working for you last time out, you get to the first tee and everybody's watching, suddenly goes south very quickly. So I think Nugent certainly has the ability. I mean, he's not going to be hitting a 54-yarder when the chips are down and in a big game, but all you're looking for is a guy. Can he hit from 40 within? Can he make the extra points and get you through? And I think that's all really the Patriots are looking for. I don't think it's going to come down to Mike Nugent having to win a game. You think about Gostkowski even. How many games did it really come down to Stephen Gostkowski being the difference? The Denver game when he missed the extra point, when Peyton went on to the Super Bowl in his last year with Denver and won that. They had to go for the two-point conversion, didn't get it. Other than that, I really can't think of too many. That Gostkowski was in big situations.
Well, he's missed a lot more recently. But then again, you don't know whether that's attributed to his hip.
Yeah.
And eventually had to have surgery on.
And I give Belichick a lot of credit. He's had two kickers in his entire career. You know, he had the Shane Graham coming in 2011, temporarily.
Good thing he cut Vinatieri or traded him.
Well, no, he left as a free agent. He wanted the money that
Belichick
gave him.
You know, I don't understand how you look at some of these teams out there and they sign like these huge contracts to two, three, four players and are like, the Patriots never seem to have any cap money. They never see, and I don't know where it's got. Where does it go?
Well, you know what? We could sit here and complain. It's worked pretty darn well. Wherever it went, it's been working just fine, thank you. And this is what I'm saying.
But you'd think they'd have a little more cap money.
Now, we are, you know, if someone was visiting from another part of the country, and of course they were listening to 850 AM because they're just monoral freaks, and they were listening to this show. Say you're coming in from Atlanta. I mean, the Falcons, after that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, it's been nothing but downhill ever since. They're awful this year. People were wondering.
I think Matty Ice is melting.
Yeah. He's a puddle. Oh. And so they're listening to these two guys whining, wheedling, wailing, caterwauling, as Buck would say, about a team that's 6-0 has won 6 Super Bowls. What's the matter with the New England Patriots? Why are they 6-0?
Even at 6-0, it still doesn't mean you don't analyze them.
No, no. But it is a nice problem to have. It doesn't it seem as if you had to right now, Larry, and I know you're not a gambling man, you have many other vices. Gambling is
like
not
what?
One of them.
Like what?
Vanilla cake.
Yes.
Okay. If you had to put your money down right now, okay, and it was your last dollar, and you needed this bet to get that Shaw's vanilla cake, it was that was the only thing standing between you.
I had
you.
That for my birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
No, that was last week.
Last week. That's old hat.
It was old hat. Who cares?
Right. So did you get the vanilla cake?
Yes, I did.
What did you have for your entree?
Steak.
Nice steak?
Yeah.
Okay, very nice. A little mashed potato on the side?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Excellent.
Were you hiding under the table?
Did your better half take you out to dine?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
Oh, I don't know the name of the place.
Don't know the name of the place?
It's an Italian place in Easton.
So you went to an Italian place and had steak? Wouldn't you have like a pasta and some sort of sauce? No?
No.
Well, highly recommended, whatever the place was.
I was waiting for you to bring some over, but as usual, you failed me miserably.
I know. But, usually I remember your birthday. You had to remind me last week.
Who cares? When you get past a certain time in your life, who cares?
Exactly. So where were we before that? Oh, yeah. If you had to put your money down right now, okay, this was the last time you were ever going to be eat a piece of Shaw's vanilla cake, but you had to pay for this, and the only way you could get that money is to put a bet on the Patriots. Would you put it on the Patriots winning the Super Bowl?
At this point in time, no.
Okay, so you don't think...
At this point in time.
Okay, well, that's all I'm asking.
I like Seattle. I think Russell Wilson, I know he's on the left side of the coast, but he never gets enough credit. That guy makes some sensational plays.
Well, I think people...
Russell Wilson.
I think people, you know, unfortunately, legacies are made in big games. And I think people still are evaluating Russell Wilson based on the Malcolm Butler play.
No, that way he didn't call the play.
No, but he still threw the pass. And I think
it was a good pass.
No, I think they're really tough. I think there's several teams in the NFC that can give the Patriots a lot of trouble. Green Bay.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, so far I'm not convinced. I don't know if you saw the back page of the Herald a couple days ago. Super Bowl preview. Garoppolo versus Brady, because the only two unbeaten teams left.
I'm not sold on Frisco yet.
No, I'm not either. Although they did a very impressive. They soundly beat the Rams in L.A., but other teams have done that.
I think that's more common about the Rams.
I think it is, too. I think the Rams are sliding. They got that Super Bowl losers hangovers a lot of teams have in the past. You look at the NFC North. You got Packers. You got Minnesota. Got the Bears. Even Detroit's played very well. They could be, 4-0-1 or even 5-0.
I question the Bears. I think Trubisky, I don't know how good he is either.
Yeah, I mean, but that's a loaded division. The NFC West is loaded. So I think there are like 5 or 6 teams that could go to the Super Bowl and be very formidable. But if you look at the AFC, certainly with Mahomes down, that really changes a lot of things.
Yeah. In Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger is out, so.
Yeah. All right, 617-779-0850. Yep, the old number's coming out.
You did a good job on that.
Off-balls. I almost said the other one, but it came back, and it took me about 2 years to get rid of this one. Now, 8 years later, it's back again. Yay!
You were almost as good with that as when you came out of the massage parlor.
Finally, the recognition I so richly deserve. If you haven't checked out Tom Brady on this new Netflix show with Paul Rudd, just Google Brady Massage Parlor. We'll talk about that coming up on the other side of the break. By the way, we are being blessed. I cannot believe this. Andy Hart is going to be joining us in the final segment of the program.
Really?
Yep, coming up in the second half of this hour. He is occupying our old space on FM, but we don't need to talk too much about that. Let's get back to the phones. 617-779-7937.
Don't pay any attention to that guy in the other studio.
Exactly. John and Gardner, one of our loyal listeners. I never doubted you for a second. How's it? How's our AM signal out there in Gardner, John?
Well, it's funny you mention that. We're pretty good in the car. Oh. But now I am claiming the one dedicated line to the hapless idiot that insists on living in the 20th century because I can't get on radio.com.
You don't have a phone?
I have a laptop. I don't have a current.
Okay, do you have a Roku?
I do not. You have a Roku? I heard that. That's going to be my next thing to explore.
Yeah, do you have a streaming device of any kind?
I have a laptop.
Okay.
But I'm not getting any success. I'm going around
in
circles. No, we don't.
That's one of the reasons why we're having everybody get that, because the EEI FM, you can just click on listen on the WBEI site. That's not available on the laptop. It's not available via computer. The only way you can get us other than AM right now is radio.com. It's on some streaming sticks like Roku, and it's on the smart. You don't have a smartphone?
No.
Do you have a cell phone, John?
I don't have one activated. I did activate a cell phone, finally, smartphone for a year, and I let it expire.
Wow. You know,
I have a thing with technology. I mean, I have no intellectual curiosity about it. I hate it.
Come to the right place over here on old-fashioned, old-school 850
AM. Question. Can I just call up at 9 o'clock every week and listen to the show on the phone line unless you get slammed?
I guess you can do that on one of the lines. You can talk to Joe, our producer. He can set you up.
Joe was terrific this morning. He was trying to help me out briefly, but I told him he better maintain his job.
By the way, it's funny you should mention that, because in the old days, pre-digital, that was the way, if you were out of town, you could listen to this show. Sometimes other radio stations would want to tape something on the show or a broadcast, and that's the way they did it. They would call in on the number, and they were put on hold, and they could listen to the station. That's really going back to the old days. But, John, you know what? You're just an old-fashioned guy.
I am.
Traditionalist.
I'm going to explore about the Roku. I have no idea how to get a Roku device, but I will explore that. If your lines aren't full, I wouldn't mind you putting me back on hold and listen to the rest of the show.
No problem, John. We're very accommodating in our new program. Very accommodating.
Right. If you get full, kick me to the curb and, you know, there you go.
So what's on your mind today?
Nothing. I was just wanted to check in and say hello. I mean, I haven't caught the first half of the program. I caught a little bit when I was running the errands.
You missed the best part, John.
No, I would,
Larry, I'll agree with you. The offensive line, as always, that most people overlook is a key thing here. We got to hope that Isaiah Wynn is A, the right guy, and B, not the guy that's going to keep getting injured all the time. Because the guy at left tackle is not the answer. And I think I probably took David Andrews for granted, kind of wondered why he was rated so well. But watching the line play, you know what he did well that Karras can't do as well? Chipping guys on the way out to get what they call the second level guys, you know, the linebackers. He almost always made contact with some big guy up front on his way to pursuing a linebacker.
You know what's funny? No one pays attention or even cares about analyzing offensive line play until it falls apart.
I kind of have always enjoyed it. That's why, even when I'm watching it in real time, I put it on my DVR so I can fool around with the forward and reverse more easily.
Right.
But after a play runs, I like to go back and watch how the lineman did. You know what I mean? I just find that interesting. So,
well, that's one thing. If you're doing that this year, John, you probably know as well as anybody, that's been probably the primary reason why the Patriots have struggled at times offensively.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think 61, the right tackle, what's his name?
Marcus Cannon.
He's either fallen back or his shoulder is still an issue because he hasn't been as
not as good.
Impressive.
Nope. Nope, not as good.
To me is,
no question about it.
Up there.
But I think you make a good point, John, and I appreciate it. And Joe, would you put him on hold? He wants to listen to the show the rest of the way. We have some space for you to be put
Craig,
on hold
have
for
your
now.
Sister call him. We can put her on hold.
No, my sister has the app. She's all set up. Darcy, if you're listening, I hope you are on your smartphone. Andrew and Edgar are listening, our friends in Connecticut. My friend Kenny's listening. I hope my friend Bill and Neil are doing the same thing. I have like four or five groupies in Connecticut who are dedicated to the show, and they're wondering when I can get my own solo show without this annoying partner. They always say, what's that guy's name you work with?
I know. They treated me that way at your party.
hey, can you give me that that bacon and cheese wrap, please?
Yeah.
John and Walden, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Craig and Larry.
Kid, you made it.
So do you share your fellow Yankee caller's belief that the Yankees are going to somehow or another pull off the miracle of miracles, winning two games at Minute Maid?
Well, I want to throw some NFL in real quick.
Okay.
Ooh,
before we get to that.
First of all,
Russell Wilson is one of the great quarterbacks of all time, Craig.
I wouldn't go that far.
He's fantastic.
He's very good.
No, I'm not saying he's one of the best quarterbacks now of all time. I think we're being a little hyperbolic.
Craig, if the coach had ran Marshawn Lynch, they would have won back-to-back Super Bowls and would have been considered one of the greatest teams of all time.
To quote,
one play has changed.
I just said. You're making my point. The perception of Russell, I'm not claiming he's a bat. You missed my point. The perception is exactly what you said. Because of one of the worst, probably the worst play call in the history of the National Football League, Russell Wilson has been unfairly, not maligned, but he's been knocked down a couple pegs.
No, you say he's been knocked down. I don't think the perception is that way.
Oh, I think so.
That's more on Carroll than him, Craig.
But I think he's revived his reputation this year. Can I say that?
All right. Number two, if anybody thinks that the Jets, because they gave the Cowboys problems, are going to give the Patriots problems, you got rocks in your head. This defense is going to make Sam Darnold look mediocre. Okay, and they'll look like the stinky old Jets like they've looked all year, and the Patriots will win that game by two touchdowns easily.
I tend to agree with you, John. I obviously, Dallas is not the Patriots, but Dallas's defense is supposed to be pretty good. The only thing I'm worried about from a Patriot perspective is that the quarterbacks the Patriots have faced up until this time have been dog
mediocre.
Poop. They've been dog poop. Not mediocre.
Oh,
that's
bad.
Way too kind.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
It's been historically
bad. And if the NFL is going to keep scheduling the Patriots these kind of schedules every year, and the division's going to be this bad, Tom Brady could play till he's 47 years old.
Yeah, and that's the point. You know, the schedules are all predetermined except for the two games, strength of schedule. Every other, it's years ahead. You know, you know what NFC division you're playing. You know what AFC division. But when you get the free pass every single year.
And they got a nice bye week in the middle of the season.
And they get to play Kansas City for the third year in a row at Gillette. How does that happen?
Yeah, the big game is always at Gillette all the time.
Yeah.
Always at Gillette. And if they don't get to the Super Bowl with it, I mean, granted, you mentioned the upcoming quarterbacks. It is going to be good. They're tough. But they should get to the Super Bowl without much trouble. I mean, the quarterbacks are going down left and right. The teams are bad. The coaching's bad.
They've got to do some tweaking on the offense, though, John.
Well, you know, every team's got a little issues, Larry. We can't say everything's perfect, but, you know, look at the Yankees. If Domingo Germán didn't get kicked out for abuse, the Yankees would be going in with a staff of Tanaka, Paxton, Severino, and Domingo Germán, which is pretty formidable.
Yeah, I look at it this
way. We're in this position.
Right. I look at it this way, and that maddens me to think about it, and I think that he deserved to be sidelined because that's an important issue. Larry, on the other hand, thinks you have to be proven guilty first. But in baseball, that's the way they deal with it. But I look at it this way. We didn't know that Seve was going to come back. So Seve essentially is replacing Germán in that rotation.
And he's been good, and
right.
I feel
right.
Here's the thing. If the Yankees can win this game tonight, If they win tonight, that means we will have won game one in Houston 7-0. We will have won tonight's game in Houston. In game two, we took them to extra innings. So we will actually be the better team in Houston if we can get to game seven.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, and I would like to see it happen. I'm still a little skeptical. 617-779-0850.
Thanks,
John. Got more of your calls coming up. We'll even speak to that Quisling over on FM, that traitorous Benedict Arnold. Andy Hart coming up in the second segment, but more of your calls before that. 617-779-0850. Mustard and Johnson returning to AM glory after all these years on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Mustard and Johnson, hitting the home stretch, 3-hour tour each and every Saturday. Come rain, come shine, we're going to be here for you on good old 850 AM, 9 to 12. Fast show so far, huh?
Yeah, it's been very good. Our people have found us. We're happy about that.
Yep. Plenty of good calls. Hope a lot of people are listening via the old-fashioned way, WEEI-AM, or the radio.com app. Just hit WEEI in the search function, and we will be there for your listening pleasure. Let's get back to the phones, 617-779-0850, and we're going to go to Peter in JP. Peter,
hey,
you're
hey,
next
Peter.
On Sports Radio. Hey, Peter.
Hey, I'm glad you guys are still on the air. I've gone back from the beginning. I used to be a regular caller 20 years ago, if that means anything. My only complaint is you're only on for 3 hours.
Well, it used to be two. It used to be two.
I want four. I can't get enough of you guys. But I wanted to bring up someone I think we're sleeping on, and that's Jacoby Myers. And I don't know if you guys remember, back in training camp, all the reports every day, this kid looks great, this kid looks great. It was all Jacoby Myers. And last week he had 4 targets and 4 catches. I think before too long he's going to be a go-to guy for Tom Brady.
He made a tremendous catch last week. He really did.
He's got unbelievable hands. And he's not coming under the radar. He was projected to be a really good player. So I'm really excited about him and to see his continued growth. So that's all I had to say.
Well, I appreciate it, Peter, and thanks for staying with us on the AM side of it.
Thanks, Peter.
Nick in Weymouth is next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, Nick.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you now.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Go ahead.
Fire away, buddy.
Okay, hey. Hey, sorry about that, just driving the car. Hey, I'm a huge fan of Russell Wilson. Top 4 or 5 guys of all time, no matter what the circumstances are, he can win the game for you. But you had a great point there, Craig. In that situation in the Super Bowl, it's always going to stay with you, unfortunately. On that play, if you review it, Ninkovich has his back he's facing the left-hand side of the field because he's occupied with a tight end or a lineman rep. No way he was ever going to get Wilson. So when Wilson saw Butler commit, right, that's when he should have decided, okay, I'm running
ball
to the right.
Yep.
It's 2-on-1. It's Curse and him against Browner. But, you know, it was a very simple. So what I'm saying is I would take Mahomes over him in a situation like that as well. I like the guy, though. I really do.
See, I thought that happened simultaneously.
It wasn't a run pass option.
Yeah, it's not like Butler broke and then he threw the ball.
No, I don't think it's a timing play. Absolutely great point. I don't think that he had any time to be thinking about tucking the ball and running. That's all timing. It was a quick step drop. and he threw the ball. And you know what?
You got to remember, it wasn't his call.
No, it's not. Certainly, he's not going to make the call. It wasn't audibleized to the line of scrimmage. Danny in Quincy.
Danielson.
How does it feel? Just like old times, huh? Dan over on the AM dial?
Yeah, well, I got to thank the guy from Georgia because he turned me on to. I have a Roku, Craig, and I got rid of my cable in one of the houses, so I, you know.
Good move. Cut the cord.
I did. Yep. And I found you on the Roku, so that's pretty good. So I thank him for turning me on to that. But I do have a little AM radio that I still have.
I know.
It's one of those Crane pocket radios, Craig.
Do you really?
Good, actually.
Yeah.
But, you cracked me up, Craig. I wanted to get to the Patriots, but, you know, you said that the Yankees were phenomenal with runners in scoring position throughout the whole season, correct?
Right.
What'd you say, 297?
294.
Okay, well, that's what put the Red Sox over the top last year. But then you said, well, now home runs are more important in the playoffs.
No, I'm not claiming that it is more important. That's what's happened, that the home run ball has been bigger. I agree with you. You'd like to see the RISP guys, like, as I said, I think the at-bat, if the Yankees are going to lose, and looks like they are, the at-bat of that playoff was Glaber going down with the bases loaded against some pretty good stuff of Ryan Pressly. Did you see the game the other night?
No, unfortunately, you know, the games are on FS, and I don't understand why Fox is not broadcasting Houston the Yankees.
Well, they have, because they had Thursday.
Are they afraid of the ratings that bad?
No, they had Thursday Night Football.
What the game? But there was a game last night.
Last night
was
on FS. Yeah. And that's you know, again, Larry's asking what's going wrong with baseball.
Yeah,
how many viewers?
You can't even find the games.
You can't even find it.
They're on FS. I mean, you can look it up, but you can't watch them.
Okay.
If they're not on Fox, regular Fox cable, it's unbelievable. I mean, speaking of networks, Craig, I always hop on the football thing, right? Last week, I had to watch Dallas, which is shoved down my throat every week, and the Jets at 4:30. When the 49ers are playing the Rams on the other stage.
That made no sense at all.
They weren't even on the other stage.
They weren't even on TV.
Unless you have the package.
That's why I got the package.
That's why I like Red Zone.
That's why, but Red Zone even doesn't
do it. Red Zone's not on at 4:30, Larry.
They're not on the 4:30.
No, it is. 4:30 starts. Don't get covered by Red Zone.
It does. They're on between 1 and 8 o'clock.
They're on, but
like
you know, the thing is.
Well, I don't have that either. But I mean, you got to what? You got to pay now to watch the NFL?
What you have to do. Unbelievable, Craig.
Just about.
Get DirecTV. Thanks for the call, Daniel. And get DirecTV, get the Sunny ticket, and you are all set. Speaking of a hot ticket, Andy Hart, the guy that, you know, pretty much knocked us out, just kicked us to the old curb, threw us under the proverbial bus. I don't even know why we're talking to him, but he is on making his debut on the Mustard and Johnson show, as we are as well on AM. Mr. Hart, how you doing? How did you guys fare in the new time slot today?
Well, we did great, but boy, do you guys do long shows on the AM dial. Good Lord, I'm halfway home already.
I know. Isn't it amazing? Well, that's the way it used to be for us.
I tell you, you get out of the studio faster than I do.
Well, if you worked with Mark James, you'd run out of the studio, too.
So it's 9-1 now, the award-winning James and Hart program. And I don't know how much time you spent on this, but we had a little fun today with that new Paul Rudd Netflix series in the massage parlor.
I'm sure Brady did, too.
And I can't, I mean, is that pretty much Brady saying F you to the organization? What's your take on this?
I don't think so. I talked to a couple people. I think Tom Brady might have been blindsided with what the final package looked like of this appearance, this cameo in this new Netflix series. My understanding is when he filmed it and he gave them 20 minutes or whatever, it was a quick shoot. It was the script reads this place he's coming out of is like an anti-aging clinic, which is at the heart of this whole series. And you basically go in and they take the best parts of you and they clone you and they send you out a better person. And so the whole gag is, who's the best person on the planet? Who keeps getting better as they age? Nobody better to fill this role than Tom Brady. And even, I guess, after this little clip we've all seen, when Paul Rudd goes in, it's a fancy doctor's office. It's not what it looks like on the outside. And so I don't even think that Brady was aware of how this was sort of painted. I think he got railroaded, and you know, I guess he has friends in Hollywood, and Paul Rudd might be one of them. I don't think he's happy with his friends right now. I don't think he's too happy.
Well, for those of us, and I just saw, I don't know when you saw it for the first time, Andy, a lot of people just saw it for the first time on their computers today. We're going to play that scene for those of you who haven't heard it. And this is Paul Rudd, new show. What's the name of that show? It's called Living With Yourself. Okay, it was just dropped on Netflix yesterday, and Tom Brady's coming out of a building called the Top Happy Spot. Maybe unbeknownst to Tom Brady, was coming out of that particular business, and Rudd comes up, and they have a little conversation. So would you play that for us, Joe?
How did you kill Dan? Cal, what am I doing?
First time?
Uh-huh.
You?
Six.
So Brady, apparently a little allusion, not so veiled, to the sixth Super Bowl. I'm assuming that's what the six meant.
Yes.
Yeah. And so yeah. Brady didn't think he was coming out of a day spa or a massage parlor when he actually filmed that scene.
No, that's not what the script called for. And I think, I mean, it's unmistakable now when you see it, the way they portrayed it, the aerial view to show you, oh, this is clearly a strip mall. And the signage and sort of everything around it makes it look kind of seedy and shady. You know, I think the Netflix people intended it to be one thing, but I don't think Brady knew what he had signed up for. I guess when he agreed to do this, it was more than a year ago or a year plus ago, a long time ago. And when it was originally written for him, I think it was, you know, four Super Bowl titles. This has been in the makings for a long time, and it was actually coming off of Deflategate, and it was sort of written by this guy Greenberg, who I think it might be a Jets fan. It was meant to sort of be a shot at Brady, that he sort of found a way to game the system, and he's been cloned, and that's why he keeps winning and getting better.
Well, I'm reading an article. It's on Yahoo Sports, and it said that Greenberg, the creator, had this idea years ago. He casted Brady before the Kraft incident.
I thought that.
Yep.
And then afterwards, he said, Tom, do you still want to do this? And he claims, amazingly, Brady agreed to do it anyway. That's what this article says.
I don't think Tom was putting two and two together the way it looks now. I think Tom thought he was coming out, you know, the script says, oh, he leaves this fancy anti-aging clinic and he's been cloned. If you read it like that on paper, it doesn't look the same as a guy coming out of a strip mall massage parlor after his owner has been in this controversy because he was in a strip mall massage parlor. So I think what was on paper on the script did not translate into what the final product.
And that makes sense if you're Brady, because the whole concept of this show, which I probably will not be checking out except for that scene, is about a character played by Paul Rudd who upgrades his life by cloning the best possible version of himself. So if you're Brady, that makes perfect sense that that's what he's doing.
Yeah, so on the surface, Twitter last night, it almost seems like the headline we have on WEEI.com, because we have the little video put up there.
Okay.
Says, you know, Brady comes out of a massage parlor. It's almost like it's The Onion, or it's satirical,
right,
or it's some... But it's just the way it came out. And it's interesting because Tom Brady will be, or is scheduled to meet with the media around 11:40, excuse me, 1:40 today. So he will be asked about this, I'm sure. And I hope he has a good, solid story, because it's a bad look. There's no question about that. I can't imagine he or Robert Kraft is happy with how it looks right now.
Well, you can understand where the conspiracy theorists out there and those who have heard Tom a little disgruntled after the AB release, and when I'm an owner, I'll get to make all the decisions and yada, yada, yada. You put those two together, and it appears as if Tom Brady's taking a shot at the organization.
Yes, it does appear that way, but he went from subtle shots and reading between the lines of his comments to taking out a blowtorch and just blowtorching a relationship that's been built over 20 years. And I find that hard to believe. Maybe I'm naive. I did used to work for Patriots.com, so people will accuse me of taking maybe a positive spin or a positive side to this, but I'm not sure Tom Brady wants to blowtorch his relationship with Robert Kraft.
Should we expect any changes with the offense before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are looking to make a move. I'll be surprised if they don't make a trade, quite frankly, not just because of what they need and what we've heard about them being active, but they always make deals at this time of year. Sometimes it's shipping a problem out of town like Jamie Collins, or coming to the end of the road with Jimmy Garoppolo, or, you know, a ways back it was adding a guy like Aqib Talib, who ended up being sort of a transformational defender for them. They always make moves. You know, sometimes it's a special teamer that they add. So I think they will make a move. I don't know that it'll appease the masses that have dreams of Stephon Diggs or A.J. Green or even Emmanuel Sanders. You know, I think there's a lot of people that think the offense needs some help and needs to add some playmakers. I don't know if those people will, as of October 29th deadline, find themselves satisfied, but I think Bill knows that they could upgrade at a few positions, and I think he's looking to do it.
There's, well, there's a guy down in Miami who's not busy.
Who are we talking about?
Antonio.
Antonio. Hey, I'm all for bringing AB back. I mean, the guy is one of the dumber people that we've ever come across, but his logic is not flawed when he says, you got to pay me. You might as well let me earn it. But again, now we get back to Robert Kraft and people taking digs at Robert Kraft's situation from the offseason. And I also, even if Robert Kraft could sort of swallow his pride and bring AB back, even after he took shots at him on Twitter, I also wonder, he was fired because he sent out a group text that was deemed to be intimidating towards a woman and her family. That has not changed. We haven't heard any whispers of, oh, that wasn't him, his phone was hacked, or anything like that. So the fireable offense that actually got you kicked out of New England hasn't changed either. So there's sort of twofold that Robert would have to back off. He'd have to swallow his pride and take a guy back who took a shot at him, and he'd also be the parent that punished his child and then basically unpunished him a couple days later. So there's a couple layers to that that make it unlikely, but I'd love to see it. Certainly would be a lot of fun for our business.
Well, see, you're willing to sell your soul like my partner. You don't care. Who cares about all that other stuff as long as he can play football? That's all you care about, Andy Hart?
Well, I don't have to invite him to my house. I don't have to have him babysit my kids or hang out with my wife. I'm just watching him catch passes, right?
Yeah, you're not forming a church choir.
No, that's for sure. Although he was in a church group.
Everybody deserves a second chance, right? Isn't that what it's all about?
Second chance? This is a second chance? Okay.
Well, with the Patriots.
Yeah,
like to say, it doesn't matter what you did before you got here. It's what you did when you got here. So he made one mistake before he got here. He deserves a second chance in New England. Right?
Andy, let me ask you this. A few people, I'm not sure where you sit on this, because I wasn't able to listen to your show today for whatever reason.
Why not?
Is Sam Darnold a legit quarterback that the Patriot defense has to worry about as they're being tested for the first time after all that dreck they were defending the first 6 weeks?
He's certainly more legit than anything they've faced.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill Belichick said the quarterback is a big difference for them. And you just look at the two games he's played. They beat the Cowboys. Nice upset of the Cowboys. Cowboys didn't play well, but give the Jets credit for taking advantage of that game. And then in week one, they probably could have and should have beaten the Bills. So that's two quote-unquote playoff caliber teams. I don't know how high you want to put them when you're stacking NFL teams, but they've been competitive twice with playoff caliber teams with Sam Darnold as your quarterback. And, you know, they gave the Patriots a little bit of problem before the Patriots pulled away. You know, they jumped out to a big lead in the first meeting in Foxborough, and then they kind of stagnated.
Right.
That defense is decent. That's a decent defense. And if the offense, I don't know if you're going to expect Sam Darnold to make all kinds of plays and be the first guy that drives up and down the field against the Patriots defense, but just don't screw it up. Just don't throw pick sixes. Don't, you know, give the Patriots extra chances. Give Brady extra chances. You know, punt a little bit. Stay close. Stay competitive. There's no question. They're a better football team with Sam Darnold. I mean, you faced Luke Falk making his first NFL start the first time, and he's now back out of football where he probably should be. So it's certainly an upgrade.
Do you take Chubbs or Michelle?
Chubb. Singular.
Chubb, yeah. Andy.
What's that? Nick Chubb?
Yeah. Do you take him or Michelle?
Well, I mean, hindsight being 20/20, I would certainly take Nick Chubb. Now, every time I watch the red zone on a Sunday, he's breaking off, you know, 40, 50, 90-yard runs, making big plays. So, and that goes back to last year. He looked really good last year. But coming out, I thought Nick Chubb was a bigger, slower player. I thought Sony Michel would be a more dynamic athlete. I would not have taken Sony Michel in the first round, but I think Sony Michel at Georgia looked like the kind of back that should be good in a Tom Brady-led offense, the kind of guy that could stay on the field for three downs, could catch the ball, could hit some big plays, and unfortunately, he's really done none of that. Even at his best last January, he was sort of a traditional workhorse running back. You know, give him the ball 20 times, he'll give you 100 yards and a touchdown and, you know, be a big, powerful team and play that way. We have not seen Sony Michel be dynamic at all, and that that to me is the most disappointing aspect of his first season plus.
All right, Andy, appreciate the input. Enjoy your stay over in the other studio and come in and say hello once in a while.
Will do. I threatened to moon you guys through the big window today, but Mark told me it was not allowed. So I didn't do it.
We like to fraternize with the enemy once in a while. Andy Hart, WBEI.com, part of James and Hart over there on the FM side. Check them out from 9 to 12. We'll be right here on the AM side. If you don't have that app, get it. Download it on the App Store, radio.com. Fast 3 hours today, sir.
Andy, thanks. Is Andy gone?
Yeah, he's already gone.
Good man. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks to Joe Cortez on the other side. Have a good weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.